that sounds like some good reasons to love God, don't you think? So let's make sure the next time you're plugging your headphones into your MP3 device, phone, or however you listen to your songs, you think about the fact that those are no good without a source of music, and that we are no good at trying to love people if we aren't tagged into the source of love. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus and for loving us through Jesus the way that you do. Help us to make sure we're always plugged into the source so that our love flows from you, because you have the perfect love. And help us to love everyone we come in contact with this week, even our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name we pray.
Scripture passage for this morning is Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, we're going to continue your Greek lesson today. Your first lesson was there in the Apostles' Creed, the word that often is in some versions of it is hell, is actually the word Hades, which is the abode of the dead, which is why we say, in my way, since I don't like sending Jesus to hell, that we send him to the dead. Now we got two new Greek words for you today, Chronos and Kairos. Yeah. You didn't know you were going to be this studious when you came this morning, did you? They both deal with time. Chronos is like, you think of chronological, right? You've heard that word, you know. It's sequential. It's quantitative. You can, you know, hours, minutes, seconds, days, months, years. That's chronological. Do we know that things happen in chronological order, you know? You don't die, and then you break your leg, and then you're born. You know, it usually doesn't work that way. You know, you're born, then bad things happen. Chronological orders. All right. But that's not the only word the Greek has for time. The other one is kairos. And the word kairos is more than just time in the way we think of time. It means the right time, the perfect moment, the opportune moment. For example, those of you who watch YouTube videos, you know, a couple of years ago, they had these people would freeze drinks in the freezer, the optimal amount of time, and then they hit them and they get like they sparkle out and make all these nice little like crystals coming out from the bottle. It was really impressive if you knew what you were doing. And if you froze them too long, they blew up in your freezer. If you didn't freeze them long enough, you just made a mess all over yourself. But the right moment, the opportune moment. You know, last night for UK, the opportune moment to make a stop would have been with 5 seconds left. They failed to do that, and they lost. What are the opportune moments in our life? Well, we're going to talk about that. Chronos is about deadlines, and Kairos is about being in the moment. We want to look at an individual, a book that's written about her. The only book in the Bible that doesn't use the word God or the word Lord in it. We narrowed it down for you. Esther. It's the only Bible without God in the Word, but it's still a book that overflows with God's providence. And I think Kairos is kind of an idea that stems from God's providence. So we're going to give you a timeline for those of you who don't remember the story of Esther, and then we'll talk her a little bit about her, and then we'll wrap it back up to Ecclesiastes, and then we'll get you ready for communion. Xerxes was a king. And he had a beautiful wife named Vashti. Well, he was partying. And they've been partying for 7 days. And they were all the alcohol you could drink was free. Now, can you imagine a 7-day open bar at the king's place? These people were happy. And so the king, being a little less than sober, wants the queen come parade and show how pretty she is in front of all these other people. And she's like, I don't think so. You know, sober up and invite me at a better time. The problem is, women didn't have that kind of rights back then. So the advisors say, you can't let that happen. You know, women's lib is not going to happen for about 4,000 years. So you got to hold this off as long as possible. So instead, they say, you're no longer queen. Get rid of her. Now, they're looking for a new queen. And it's an event. I mean, they go find the best looking virgins. And they spend a year getting them ready just before they're seen. And it's like takes more than that before they finally are presented to the king. And one of these that's brought is this Jewish girl named Esther. So she's chosen the new queen. And all while all this is going on, now we need to understand that Esther is Jewish. And her cousin slash uncle, according to which version you read, who had adopted her, hears a plot by a man named Haman who's going to destroy all the Jews. Now, Haman's upset because he's like the second in charge of the entire country. And Mordecai, which is the Esther's cousin uncle, won't bow to him. Ticks him off. So much that he says, I don't just want to kill him, I want to kill every single Jew. Good job, Mordecai. All right, way to stand up for your beliefs and send a whole bunch of people to death. But while this is going on, Mordecai is still in constant contact, and not with that, you know, program, constant contact, email program that some of you may know about. But with Esther, and he's keeping up with what's going on, and she's feeling her with what's going on. And he says, you know, you got to fix this. And Esther's going like, you understand, if I go see the king uninvited, I can die. He can put me to death. Mark says, yeah, I know that. Oh, thanks. Can someone else adopt me now? But she thinks so. And he tells her, do you think just because you're, you know, the queen, that's going to save you from being a Jew when all this goes down? And so she thinks about, says, have everybody pray for me, fast for 3 days, and I'll go talk. Now, when she comes up to the king, he can either lift the scepter up or down. Down is not a good thing for Esther, but it's not. He invites her and says, I'll give you anything you want, all the way up to half of my kingdom. She must have been good looking. That's all I'm saying. So she said, oh, here's what I want. I want to fix you dinner. And when I fix you dinner, why don't you let that Haman character come too? I think that'd be neat. Have him come. So he does. And again at the dinner, he says, I'll give you anything you want, up to half my kingdom. She says, how about, this was so well, let's have one more dinner. I'll cook for you myself, and it'll just be you, me, and Haman. Now Haman's getting a little full of himself now. He's going, man, Queen Esther has invited me personally now for the second time. I can't wait to hear what's going on. Well, before the second visit, something happens. One, Mordecai hears of a plot to kill the king. And he lets the people know. They find out about it. They save the king. That's great. But he's never getting any of any reward, and that's no big deal. But now Haman's beginning to think that he's getting all these good things happening. And the king comes to him and says, What should I do for someone who's really gained the king's favor? And Haman's like, that's me. It's Mordecai. It's mortal enemy. But he doesn't know that. He says, well, let's get a robe that the king has worn and a ring, and we'll parade them around the city saying, this is how someone who gets a king's favor is treated. And the king goes, great. And Haman's going, yes. Would you do that for Mordecai? Ugh. Ouch. But he does. But now he's in a grumpy mood now. And his wife says, you know what? You can fix this. Why don't you just make a gallows, hang this guy, and get it over with. And he gets a proclamation made to the king, signed all nice and legal that all the Jews can be put to death. So he's going to start with Mordecai. Now, I'm not saying this guy is big on pretentiousness, but he just didn't build a gallows. He built one 75 feet tall. You know, that's a little bit of overkill, no pun intended, on the hanging. So he comes that night to the dinner with this planning on going on. And he gets there, and the king says, Esther, up to half my kingdom, what would you want? And she says, well, you know, the problem is this. Someone is wanting to kill all my people. And now Haman's like, And could you maybe save my people? And he says, who is this man? And Haman's probably now trying to get really out of the picture. You know? He's right there. So guess what happens to Mordecai, or to Haman? He gets hung on his own gallows. You know, don't mess with the Jews back then. They're God's people. Don't mess with us. We're God's people now. So you get the timeline. Esther, whenever she needed something, something was provided. God's providence. And that's the Kairos. Knowing that when she went before the king, that God was in control. That was the right time to go after the fasting. When she had the dinner, it's the right time. In Ecclesiastes, the verse that was read earlier, that was not Turtles lyrics, in case you were wondering. It came from the Bible first, not the Turtles to the Bible, the Bible to the Turtles. And if you don't know the answer to what I'm talking about, then, you know, you're either, like, really, really young or really, really lost your, you know, forgot that. So, anyway, there's a time to be born, a time to die. Plant, uproot, kill, heal, tear down, build up, weep, laugh, mourn, dance, embrace, refrain from embracing, search, give up, keep, throw away. Amy and I figured that one out when we were moving. That's a great time for the throwaway, by the way. Tear, mend, silent. I'm still working on that one. Yeah, time to be silent. Yeah, Amy's working really hard on helping me learn how to do that, but it's hard for me. Yeah, time to speak. Love, hate, war, peace. And what she didn't read a little bit later on, about four verses down from that, it says, a time for every good deed. There's always time to do a good deed. That's the Kairos moment, the time that we're doing what God wants us to do for people out there. It may be providing someone with a ride that the car broke down. It may be someone who has forgot their checkbook and you buy them lunch. It may be whatever it may be. But we need to be open for those moments, because the opportune moment, it's going to happen. But whether you see it or not, it's on you. The only survivor of a shipwreck washed up on this uninhabited island. And he's working hard. He built him a little lean-to. He'd watched Survivor enough to know how to do that. And he starts trying to, you know, hunt and fish, and he's not doing very well. He's getting a little grumpy, but, you know, he's doing everything he can to make it livable. And then one day he's out trying to find some food, and he comes back, and his shack is on. Now, he'd been praying for God's help, and now he's mad at God. He says, you know what? All I wanted was a little help, finding, you know, getting some help, getting off here, getting fed while I was waiting, and look what you did. You burned down my shack. And he just sat there under a tree, and he's grumpy. The next day, he looked off to the edge of the horizon. Here comes a ship coming. Cool. Lifeboat gets out, comes to the shore, and I said, and he says, how did you know I was here? He says, well, didn't you send that smoke signal? Kairos, the opportune moment, trusting that God is in control. Esther did, it turned out pretty good for her. How about us? Are we so caught up in the chronological way of doing things that we aren't going to be open for those kairos moments, those opportune times to do what God wants us to do. I hope not. But Father, keep us ever aware and open to see those moments where we can interact in wherever we are for you and making it the perfect kairos moment. Help us, Lord, not to get a big head that we help someone, but just understand that you are the one who's in control and helping us to make those things happen. Help us to not get so caught up in the chronological way of doing things and deadlines and clocks like our pastor tends to get caught up on too much, and be open for your moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, yeah, it was the birds, not the turtles. Yeah, some animal. Yeah. Wild thing. Is that the turtles? No. Anyway. All right. My wife has just told me I've probably hurt my youngest daughter's feelings forever for saying the wrong band.